Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ, and I want to thank you for listening to our radio broadcast this morning. We hope you'll become a regular listener. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be giving our meeting times of services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any of all these services. You will always be warmly received. We also have a website, www.churchofchristatharrisburg.com. We invite you to check it out. There are many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. There even is a contact button if you wish to contact us. Feel free to do so. We want to help you in any way we can in studying and meditating upon God's Word, and not only learning it, but obeying it and applying it to your life. David was the second king over Israel, and he desired to build a house to rest the Ark of the Covenant in 2 Samuel chapter 7. This David thought was only fitting to give God's ark a permanent dwelling place and one worthy of the special meaning that it had to God's people. However, since David had been a man of war, God would not permit him to erect the temple. What did David do? Pout? Throw a fit? Or try to reason with God? No, he did none of those things. He gathered all the leadership of Israel together, announced that God had chosen his son Solomon to rule Israel in his stead and to build the temple. David then proceeds to give Solomon a charge before the whole nation. Though this was a statement made to an ancient king, it contained some valuable instructions for any to follow today. Let us examine to see if we can make application in our own lives to the charge that David gave to Solomon, a charge for all times. This charge is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse number 9. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father, serve him with a loyal heart and mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intents of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you, but if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Let us make some applications of this great charge given to Solomon by his father David, a charge for all times. Know the God of thy father. What does it mean to know God? To know about him? To believe in him? To believe he exists? Well, all those things are important, but I want to suggest to you this morning, to know him can best be defined as to perceive directly, grasp in the mind with clarity and certainty, to regard as true beyond any doubt. Many people today are the Gentiles of old. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, the Apostle Paul wrote that they knew not God. Paul concludes in verse 28 that they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. A decision was made not to get to know him. Why? They couldn't be bothered. How does one come to know God today? There is only one way: by a study of his word that defines his character, that defines who he is, defines what he does, and also tells us what he expects. In Romans 1 and verse 20, we are told that the creation itself makes man without excuse to know God. In the Bible, in Matthew chapter 7 and 7 and 8, in the great Sermon on the Mount, our Lord said, "Ask and ye shall receive, knock and it will be opened, seek and ye will find." Yes, God can be found by those who are looking for him. We need to know the God of our Father. We need to know our Father in heaven, and you cannot come to know him unless you go to the book that tells you all about him. The second thing that David told Solomon was to serve him with a perfect heart. Service to God has always been a requirement by him. The perfect heart means a complete heart, always following the guidelines of the Master. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse number 19, "And give to my son Solomon a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do them all, and to build the temple for which I have made provision." Yes, the heart of man is the center of his motivation and all of his action towards God. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, it tells us to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Jesus said in Matthew 15, verse 19, the thoughts of man's heart is what produces his action. Man's heart must be pure and it must be complete in order to follow through with the proper conduct in his life that will be acceptable to God. In 1 John 3, verse 20, we're told that the heart must be prepared to do the will of God. The way that one prepares his heart is by putting the Word of God in it. When he does that, he'll be able to serve God with a perfect mind. The next thing that he was told to do was to have a willing mind. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, in verse number 12, 2 Corinthians 8, in verse number 12, the Apostle Paul would write in his second letter to the church of Corinth, "For if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have." Our service to God must be a wholehearted service unto God. We must love God with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. Even Jesus said this was a great commandment that all the law and the prophets hang upon in Matthew 22, verse 37 through 40. Man cannot be taught to have a willing mind. That must be developed out of a heart of thankfulness, gratitude, and understanding what God has done for him and continues to do for him as he lives upon this earth. Do you have a willing mind? Let me suggest to you today that one of the things that might help you to have a willing mind is to have the heart that Ezra did. In Ezra chapter 7 and verse number 10 would be a worthy thing for all to do. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. "For Ezra set his heart to study the law of the Lord, to practice it, and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel." Notice, Ezra had a willing mind. He set his mind to study God's word, to practice it, and then to teach it to others. Samuel, when he was called by God, called three different times, and on the third occasion, Samuel answered, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth," in 1 Samuel 3, verse 10. Yes, to serve God, one must have a willing mind. The next thing that Solomon was told is that the Lord searches all the hearts and understands all the imaginations of our thoughts. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, we are told that God does not do and does not act like man. He does not judge by the appearance, but he judges the heart. God sees what men really are, not as others perceive them. In Psalms 139, verse 1 and 2 teaches the same. Where can man hide from God? Nowhere. David welcomed God's search in Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24. Could you make that same statement with confidence in your life, friend? Is there anything in our life we would like to hide from God? To do so would be futile. In the days of Noah, God knew the hearts of men, and he said that they were evil continually. Remember, we will give an account for all our thoughts of our heart, according to Matthew 12, verse 36. This is also again mentioned in Romans 14 and verse 12. Man cannot pull the wool over God's eyes. God searches the heart. He knows what motivates us. He knows what provokes us. He knows why we serve him, or he knows why we don't. And so the Lord searches the heart. Dear listener, as the Lord searches your heart this morning, what would he find? Next, Solomon is told, if you seek him, you will be found by him. We're told in Acts 17, verse 27, that in him we move and live and have our being, and he is not far from any of us. Men must make it their life aim to seek after God. If so, the search will be rewarded. God helps those who are searching and seeking the truth. Remember Cornelius? God sent Peter to him. Each person in life must plot their own course. For what are you seeking, dear friend? Well, who are you seeking? What can be better than seeking God and his word? If you seek him, you will find him. Matthew chapter 7, verse 6 and 7. He can be found. It is a must to find him in order that you might be saved. The next thing, and the last thing that he was told to do, was a warning. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Well, God did promise to never leave us or forsake us, and he did in Hebrews 13, verse 5. That is dependent on us. God never has, nor ever will, he forsake man. Man is always the one guilty of forsaking, never God. God will not do for man what it is his duty to do for himself. When men determine to do evil, God allows them to make that choice. But he will not bless that choice. He will hear them again if they repent and turn away from sin. You see, sin is the thing that separates a man from God, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. When we leave him, he will leave us. But he will never do the leaving first. It is us that must leave him. Think about Saul. Saul was chosen by God, and yet Saul departed from God, and then God departed from Saul and no longer spoke to him. Who did the departing? Saul did the departing, and when he did the departing, then that obligated God to do the same. Aren't these wonderful, wonderful instructions and charges for any of us to follow? Let us review for just a moment. To know the God of thy Father. Dear listener, do you know the God of heaven? Are you familiar with him? Do you have a relationship with him? Serve him with a perfect heart. Is your life perfect before God? Are you following his instructions? Are you heeding his guidelines in your life? Are you seeking to do his will? Do you have a willing mind? Do you have a wholehearted service to God? Are you truly committed to God and to do the things that God would have you to do in this life? Are you like that wise scribe Esther, where you are seeking to study the law of God, to meditate upon it, in order that you might practice it and then be able to teach it to others? Do you have that kind of mind, dear listener? But remember, the Lord searches all hearts and understands the imaginations and thoughts of our heart. You cannot run from God. You cannot hide from God. Jonah learned that lesson the hard way. No one's going to be able to hide their actions and their conduct and their life from God. We are an open book, according to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, and we are an open book because God sees all things. What does God see when he searches you, my friend? What does he see in your heart? What does he see in the life that you live? And last, the final warning. If you seek him, you will be found by him. You can find him. You can come to know him. But you must look in the right place. And the best place to start, and the place that will lead you to him, is his word. Do you spend time in God's word? Do you meditate upon it? More than that, what you learn, do you apply it, and do you obey it? And last, dear listener, there is a divine warning. If you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. One day we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we will give an account of the life that we lived on this earth. And that life will depend in eternity by what we chose to do while with Jesus and with his Father while we lived upon this earth. What are you doing with him? If the Lord would judge you today, would he say that you have forsaken him? And would he say, depart from me, I never knew you? What can we gain from this study but to understand that we have a great responsibility and a great opportunity? But it is ours for the taking. We must make the decisions. We must make the choices. And as David told Solomon, there was a profitable way, the best way, that he would be able to do that. If we follow the charge that David gave to Solomon in our life, we will be profitable to God. Thank you for listening, and we hope you have a wonderful day. Come and worship God with us.